the final question time of the year ended in shouting once again. The latest furore is over a 2013 speech where Minister Angus Taylor spoke of political correctness in a debate over a Christmas tree at Oxford in 1991, in which he mentioned US author Naomi Wolf lived down the corridor. But Dr. Wolf has disputed the claim, saying she loves Christmas and she wasn't involved in this issue and left Oxford in 1988, well before the minister arrived. She is seeking a correction. Now, the government wrapped up the year with a win on Medivac, a loss on ensuring integrity, the union-busting bill, and a major shake-up of the public service. A short time ago, I was joined by Liberal MP Trent Zimmerman and Labor MP Anne Arley, and I began by asking Mr. Zimmerman if he found today's question time unedifying.
I think question time generally is something that most Australians struggle to come to terms with, and I just don't know how we change it. It's been a feature of political life for so long that it operates in the way it does. It makes change very hard, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try.
Okay, get rid of Dorothy Dix's then?
Well, no, I think you've got to have a balance in the opportunity for government members as members of parliament to be able to ask questions. But I think that what people find difficult is simply the name calling, the heat, the anger that they see on display, which is often feigned and pretty obviously feigned. And I think that most Australians don't mind passion, but sometimes question time definitely goes over the top.
And Ali, did it go over the top today?
Well, Patricia, I'm in that category of people who had never watched Question Time before I actually came here. So I went into my first Question Time with a piece of paper and a pen thinking we were going to get answers. And I think one of the things with Question Time is you don't actually get answers to the questions you ask. And I think that that does cause frustration and not just for those in the chamber, but also for the people who are watching Question Time as well. If it's called Question Time, then there should be an opportunity for us to ask questions, particularly questions that are pertinent to the people that we represent. It is a representative democracy. We are here representing the people who elected us. And I think it would be worthwhile to have a question time where questions get asked and genuinely answered.
All right, let's move to what happened in question time. Angus Taylor asked Naomi Wolf for an apology and said that he's offended about being accused of being anti-Semitic because he said his grandmother is Jewish. Now, Naomi Wolf has just been on Afternoon Briefing and she is not going to withdraw. She also wants him to correct the record. Trent Zimmerman, shouldn't he just correct the record given she's a very prominent US author and she's pretty upset that that he's made some claims about where she was and that she was against Christmas that she says are inaccurate?
Well, I think that this whole episode gives the silly season new meaning, and this is part of the problem with question time. You get bogged down in questions from the opposition about issues like this, which really aren't really addressing the concerns of most Australians. But look, what I would say is that Angus has outlined his position in relation to his first speech, but moreover, I think that why he was upset was the implication that his comments back then had in some way a racial overtone. And the point that he made is that his own grandmother's Jewish, and that therefore to suggest that in any way he was being motivated by some type of religious intolerance was just simply wrong and unacceptable.
What do you think, Anne Arley? Was he motivated by that? Is Naomi Wolf correct?
I think that Angus Taylor farce has gone on way too long. And look, I disagree with Trent about these issues being pedantic issues. These issues go to the integrity of the parliament and the fact that Angus Taylor has misled Parliament and should come on board and correct the record, as well as answer some other questions that are being asked of him. I think the question time should be used to hold the government to account, and particularly where there are questions over the heads of ministers about things like doctored documents, about things like, at the very, very, very best, an over-exaggeration, and then these accusations against somebody like Naomi Wolf. I think it's about time that Angus Taylor came and cleared the record, not just for the Australian people, but also for himself and for his party.
Let's just talk about the big shake-up of the public service. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, has announced a series of public service mergers, reducing the number of departments from 18 to 14. Trent Zimmerman, why has the government made this decision 3 weeks before Christmas? I mean, it inevitably will lead to job losses, won't it?
No, and I think the Prime Minister's made very clear that this isn't about job reductions and certainly isn't a cost-saving measure. He expects it to be effectively budget neutral. But he flagged, obviously, some months ago after the election that he was looking at public service reform. He became the Minister for the Public Service himself as an indication of his seriousness about trying to make sure the structure of the public service was best serving Australians. And that's what really these changes are about. And I have to say, having worked in Canberra many years ago, I think that one of the good things about these changes is that it does break down some of the traditional silos and hopefully will encourage more collaboration on some of the key policy challenges that we face.
Trent Zimmerman, we've already heard that 100 staff moving from the Agriculture Department to Infrastructure were farewelled, then told the following day they actually wouldn't be moving. Senior public servants weren't told this news until late yesterday. Why has there been so much chaos in this process?
Well, I can't speak for that, and they're the responsibilities of departmental secretaries, but the PMM just made the announcement this morning, and I assume that most of the public service would have found out at that time what he had in mind for the structure of those departments. And really, it's important to focus on what we're trying to achieve here. And if you look at, say, for example, the new Education and Skills Department, it's basically making sure that you have a stream of constant policy advice dealing with those linked stages of your life, be it moving through the school system to higher education, through the skills sector and into employment. And basically having one department responsible for that makes a great deal of sense.
What do you make of it, Anne Ali? He says it's not about cuts, it's actually about delivery of services. Could it be beneficial in that process of delivering better services for Australians?
Well, for a start, Patricia, I don't think the government can guarantee that there will be no job cuts. There have already been job cuts, and my sense is that we'll see more in the future with these mergers. Some of these mergers don't make sense. Like, why is communication and the arts being merged into infrastructure, and what does that mean? What does that mean for the ABC? What does that mean for the arts sector? In some cases, or in some instances, communications infrastructure like the NBN, but what about the arts? What about the ABC? What about other aspects of that? And how does that merger quite work? This is the government's centralisation agenda. That's what it is. It is about centralisation. It is the modus operandi of this government. We've seen them this week with their unprecedented authoritarianism in the parliament, shutting down parliament, trying to introduce bills to shut down unions, to shut down protests. The government doesn't want to hear from Australians.
Well, Anne, I must be sitting in a different parliament because parliament's still sitting. It hasn't been shut down. So I think you've got to be careful about that type of language. It's just simply not true.
Let me clarify.
Shutting down debate, Trent.
Well, what we've done is reintroduced a bill which has already had something like 20 hours of debate, something like 60 speakers, and will go back to the Senate, obviously, where it will be debated again next year.
So given it's already gone through the lower house and the government has the numbers there, Anne Ali, it was a fait accompli anyway, wasn't it? This was always going to pass the lower house.
Well, Patricia, there's a tradition in Parliament, and that tradition is that we, as representatives who are elected by the people, stand up and speak on behalf of the people and their interests on bills. Now, I think the Australian people and people who cherish our democracy should be very concerned about what we've seen in Parliament this week with the shutting down of debate and the government trying to shut down the opposition, wanting to have a debate and a discussion on issues that are important to the people who represent us. We were asked to vote on a bill that we hadn't even been presented with, that wasn't even present in the chamber, and the parliament
did have to shut down to allow the government to rectify that. This is the feigned indignation, which I think really does turn people off the parliament, to be frank, because...
Oh, I'm not feigning indignation at all, Trent.
There were copies of the bill in the chamber, and you know the Speaker clarified that. But moreover, I have to say that for the Labor Party to be crying poor on this or foul on this belies the fact that in the Senate they actually tried to defer debate on this bill for 2 years by referring it off to a committee which had a reporting date, incredibly, of 2 years hence. But moreover, it's actually not uncommon for debates to be guillotined or to have management of debate motions, which by their very nature restrict the capacity of members of Parliament to speak, because we obviously want to make the Parliament work efficiently. And in this case, you have a bill which has been in the Parliament twice before, has had extensive debate, and will be debated again in the Senate.
Thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks, Anne.
That was Liberal MP Trent Zimmerman and Labor MP Anne Ali.